Our first reading is from Colossians 1, verse 15 to 29. We look at the sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels. Everything God started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together, like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so expansive that everything God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly turned to the message. Careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets the same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this message. I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on. I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part and that suffering. When I become a servant in this church, I experience the suffering as a sheer gift, God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out. Regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the ministry in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you, so therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy God so generously gives me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Morning, morning, everyone. Morning. It's so good to be with you guys this morning. Welcome to the service. Welcome to Trinity Methodist Church if we have any visitors. I'm so glad that you're with us today, and I'm so glad that we get the chance to worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I think you and I probably have much in common, but there's one thing I'm pretty sure I share with many people in this room. I've never preached a sermon before. I'm honored by this opportunity and have been so blessed by the past few days of getting to seek the Lord, getting to pray through this passage, getting to ask the Lord what he wants to share with you guys, getting to pray for you guys, pray for this room, asking that Christ would encounter us all afresh this morning. I'm learning that preaching is much different than I thought. I thought preaching would be all about how extensively you can prepare or how much research you can do on a passage or even how much you can remember from your seminary classes, of which I can't remember that much. But I've witnessed the Lord do a new thing in my heart. When I was offered this opportunity to preach here and was given this specific passage from Colossians, I was like, what am I going to say to these people? What do I have to offer? I just had no idea what kind of message I could give you guys. This whole process has felt so out of my control and has been much different than I expected. But as I begin to wait on the Lord and watch Him work together this message for you guys, I've witnessed Him weave together His word for us all to receive today. And I've been praying that we would not just be speaking and thinking about Jesus Christ this morning, but we would ultimately encounter Him afresh, that we would be met by the Jesus Christ who hold all things together, who created this world and created us, and is ready to encounter us and meet us at every moment. Most of you guys know that I'm not from around here. And if we haven't had the privilege of meeting, or if you're new to this church, you could probably guess that from my accent. I've had the honor of being a part of this church for the past 10 weeks, of getting to just step into this community and see what God is doing, how Christ is present here. I feel so a part of this place that I'm just grieving having to leave on Tuesday as I prepare to head back home. But I'm also excited to see my friends and family who I love dearly and to return to the places that I was raised in and that I love so dearly. But part of what has been helpful in feeling halfway across the world, feeling at home, even though I'm halfway across the world, has been this lovely little device. Does anyone have one of these? Does anyone know what this is? Now, I'm just as shocked as you guys are. If you ask my friends and my family, they would be the first to say that I'm the last to respond to a text message. I'm the first to miss a phone call. I'm the first to say that I'm ready to get rid of my smartphone and get one of those flip phones. I don't know if anyone remembers those days. But I've just been completely amazed at how through this phone, these past few months, I've had the opportunity to introduce my friends, my new friends, to my family from back home, to share pictures of places that I've come to love, to explain lessons that I'm learning and how I'm growing. And vice versa, I've gotten to show friends here where I come from, pictures of the school and the university that I love, photos of my family so they can understand this context that I come from, even if they could never be there themselves at this moment. This simple phone has brought together the home that I come from and the home that I currently live in. I've witnessed a place far away in this present place be brought together, all through a phone, photo shared, or a phone call that's made. I'm speaking of which, because this is my first time preaching, I wanted to send a quick video of you all to my family, if that would be okay. So everyone say hi super fast. Say hi, wave. Good morning. Good morning. Hello from South Africa. Thanks. That will mean a lot to them because I think they're all sad that they couldn't be here. Now, I don't use my phone as an example to compare Jesus Christ to an iPhone or to suggest that technology has anything to do with the kingdom of God. But I did think of this story as I read today's passage about Jesus Christ, who is the image and the embodiment of the invisible God, the one and true reconciler of all things. My iPhone has helped bring together the home that I come from and the home I currently live in. It has made visible the invisible, taking the invisible friends and family from halfway across the world that you cannot see right now and allowing you to see what is currently unseen, to know what you could not have known apart from this device. Similarly, Jesus Christ brings together his heavenly home and his earthly home
to reveal to us the invisible God who had never had a face or taken the form of a body or resided physically in this earth until Jesus Christ came here. The person of Jesus Christ, God who became man, permanently holds together heaven and earth, embodying God who is eternal and invisible and transcendent, who defies every attempt to understand him. Through Jesus, this God joined himself permanently to this earth, to his very own creation, redeeming the rebellion of the world he made to love himself, and now works to take all that is made and turn it inside out, reversing and restoring all suffering and violence and ultimately death itself. As verse 19 of the passage that Lachey just read for us says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, through Jesus Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether in heaven or on earth, making peace by the blood of his cross." And so who is this Jesus, you ask? Jesus is the image of the invisible God, which means that when we look at the Son, we see the God who cannot be seen. Through Jesus, we behold the Creator God and his original purpose in everything that was created. For by Jesus, all things were created, all governments and kings, all rulers and powers. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. Absolutely everything got started with this Jesus, and he holds everything together, for it all finds its purpose in him. Christ both reveals the Almighty God and reveals his purposes for creation. He shows God to the world and shows this world what life with God can look like. Jesus Christ brings together all times, all places, all peoples, and reveals to them the goodness of God by making peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus Christ doesn't just reveal who God is, but he also reveals who we are. He doesn't just show God to this earth, but he shows us all what a fully alive human life can look like, someone who is fully in a good relationship with God. On our own, apart from God's merciful forgiveness, manifested by the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. Without God's forgiveness and without the Holy Spirit, we are alienated and hostile in mind, this passage says, doing evil deeds. But by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for us, Christ has reconciled us with God, allowing us to live lives that are holy and blameless and above reproach before him. The life Christ lived is now available to us too. We can live lives that are clearly in communion with God, that are reconciled to the Lord, and ultimately are reconciled to each other. And so this passage doesn't just tell us about Jesus Christ. It doesn't just tell us about ourselves, but it ultimately asks things of us. If we are to fully experience reconciliation with God, we must also expect and seek reconciliation with one another. We are asked by Jesus to continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, clinging to the hope of the gospel that has been proclaimed in all of creation. If this message, this new life, this reconciliation is offered to me or to you, then we must recognize that it's offered to all people. This message alone is able to bring us together, giving us the opportunity for all things to be healed and redeemed through the peace that is brought about by the blood of the cross. And so as I prayed through this passage this week, memorizing and meditating on Paul's words about Christ and us, I found myself thinking, what on earth was it like for Paul to write these words for the first time in his letter to the Colossians? Did he just marvel at the cohesion of thoughts far greater than his, scrambling in amazement to scribe all these things down allowing the words to stream across the page? Was he on his knees in worship, leaning on his elbows in prayer, giving thanks for the new words that God had chosen to describe himself to his people? Was he astounded at how the words he wrote ministered not just to those he wrote to the Colossians, but deeply instructed his own ministry as he grew in amazement at Christ, the God-man, the one holding heaven and earth together, who became human that humanity might become like God? Did this passage change his life, change his theology, change who he thought God was? Friends, we are always re-encountering Christ, refacing Christ. And as we continue to meet him again and again, we are changing. And so who do we say that Christ is? Jesus famously asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And I think that this is a question that we all need to hold before ourselves often. A scholar I love from the States, A.W. Tozer, explains that one of the most important things about a person is what comes into his mind when he thinks of God. So let me pose that as a question to you guys. What comes to your mind when you think of God? Jesus Christ is God among us. And as we think about God, we cannot understand God apart from his Son. Jesus Christ shows us that God is always revealing himself in ways that we can understand. Jesus Christ shows us that God holds all together as this world is begging for healing and unity, remaking and restoration. Jesus Christ is the face of God on this earth among us. Jesus Christ has made known to us the greatest of all mysteries, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This message, this word of God, Paul says, is a mystery that has been hidden for ages and for generations, from the thousands of years between Abraham all the way to the person of Jesus Christ. But now, through the person of Jesus and through the work of the Holy Spirit, God reveals himself freely and completely. This is the entirety of the mystery, the completeness of the message, though it's one that we will spend a lifetime trying to understand. This mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the entire mystery of the gospel. Christ is in you. Christ is in me. Christ is in all who believe. So we, therefore, look forward to sharing in God's glory. Amen. Amen.